today's class will be given by His Grace Chakravarti Das Prabhuji on Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 4.12.29 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you are there on the call. Hare Krishna Chakravarti Prabhuji, you are present on the call, Prabhuji.
Mataji, he is coming, Mataji. Wait.
Hare Krishna Mataji, I can't hear anything.
Hare Krishna Mataji, we are still waiting for Prabhuji to join, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, Prabhuji is there, but he is having some difficulty joining in. So we are working on it, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Jaisa Chakravarti Das, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada.
I'm sorry, I was stuck with this some technology thing. I was not able to log in on webcam.
Yeah, it's okay, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much for giving your valuable time. And we are really fortunate to have you on this Bhakti Sangha conference call, Prabhuji. And you can take over, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So we'll just recite the verse. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, chapter titled Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead, verse number 29. Paritya Bharcha Dishnagrayam Parshadav Abhivandhacha Iyesha Tadadishthatum Vibhratrupam Hiranmayam. Translation. Before getting aboard, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped the plane, circumambulated it, and also offered obeisances to the associates of Vishnu. In the meantime, he became as brilliant and illuminating as molten gold. He was thus completely prepared to board the transcendental plane. Purport. In the absolute world, the plane, the associates of Lord Vishnu and Lord Vishnu himself are all spiritual. There is no material contamination. In quality, everything, there is one. As Lord Vishnu is worshipable, so also are his associates, his paraphernalia, his airplane, and his abode. For everything of Vishnu's is as good as Lord Vishnu. Dhruva Maharaj knew all this very well as a pure Vaishnava, and he offered his respect to the associates and to take the plane before riding in it. But in the meantime, his body changed into spiritual existence, and therefore it was illuminating like molten gold. In this way, he also became one with the other paraphernalia of Vishnu Loka. Mayavadi philosophers cannot imagine how this oneness can be achieved even in different varieties. Their idea of oneness is that there is no variety. Therefore, they have become impersonalist. As Shishumar, Vishnu Lok or Dhruva Lok are completely different from this material world. So a Vishnu temple within this world is also completely different from this material world. As soon as we are in a temple, we should know very well that we are situated differently from the material world. In the temple, Lord Vishnu, his throne, his room, and all other things associated with the temple are transcendental. The three modes, Satoguna, Rajoguna, and Tamoguna, have no entrance into the temple. It is said, therefore, that to live in the forest is in mode of goodness, to live in the city is in mode of passion, and to live in a brothel, liquor shop, or slaughterhouse is in the mode of ignorance. But to live in the temple means to live in Vaikuntha Loka. Everything in the temple is as worshipable as Lord Vishnu or Krishna. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Rugnatambitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitamsam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashpata Deshatarine Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurutishe Namaha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधकांत नमस्तुते सप्तकांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितनां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शुभासादि गौरभक्तवृंद Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we saw last week only we discussed, and you are definitely discussing every day one or more than one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in today's verse, we see that the plane has come and Dhruva Maharaj is about to board the plane. But what happens before boarding? This talks a lot about the Vaishnava etiquette, Vaishnava culture, the culture which is inbuilt in spiritual world. But in material world, we have to train ourselves to this culture. It's very important. Achievement definitely is important. But you see, Dhruva Maharaj has got wonderful achievement. He did tapasya at the age of 5. Dhruva Maharaj is able to conquer Lord Vishnu with his love, with his bhakti. And then he rules for 36,000 years, unconquerable. What achievements, if you have read, what are the achievements he had in life? But at the end, see, this is Vaishnava culture. Even after achieving everything, He is humble. He is not, you know, having any tinge of pride. Definitely, if there was a even an iota of pride, he cannot go back to God. That's the condition, humility. So in his humility, we should not forget, we may, okay, one day we will go back to Godhead, but before that, we have so many achievements in life. Some of us will be given, say, to manage Gaura Puranima festival, to manage Ram Navami festival, and then we do successful management, devotees are happy, that is our remuneration. Now what happens after that? Because of our own conditioning, because of three modes of material nature, after certain achievement, the false ego, which is already very high in our conditional state, it increases further. And then we can see the behavior. Suppose someone is giving class, sitting on Vyasasana. His behavior, how is on Vyasasana and off Vyasasana? That should be checked. That's why it is said, a pure devotee means inside and outside he is same. If he is alone, locked in the room with all the facilities, he will behave as if he is sitting on the Vyasasana in front of thousands of devotees and video camera. So that is the difference. But we get conditioned. If we are conditioned, what happens even after getting little achievement, which we have got because of mercy of Guru and Krishna? We tend, you know, it may not happen all the time, it may not happen with all the devotees, but there are chances that it will happen. We tend to think that this is my own achievement. And then comes pride, the manifestation of false ego, which was hidden deep inside, will now surface. And our behavior, especially with other devotees, may change. We can see that, whether our behavior is same or not. So that is not a divine quality. That is a quality of a conditioned soul, which just proves that he is not yet free from false ego. But here we see, in Dhruva Maharaj's case, he has achieved Vaikuntha. The plane has already come. What else? Now he has to just board and go back. And you see what he is doing. Before boarding the plane, he is parityā. Parityā is having circumambulated. When Dronacharya's son, Droni, Ashwatthama, he released Brahmastra. Two times he released. One was when he wanted to kill a child in the womb of Uttara, who was Parikshit Maharaj. And another time when Arjuna and Krishna were behind him and he was tired. His horses were first tired. He got down from the chariot, started running. Arjuna also started running. After he killed five sons of Draupadi, Arjuna and Krishna were running behind Dronacharya's son. That time he released Brahmastra. Arjuna was a little concerned and fearful. And he asked Krishna, "What is this, my lord?" Dronacharya's son, Ashwatthama, when he was in fear, he released Brahmastra. This proves the doership tendency. This proves that there is no dependence of Ashwatthama on the lord. He is dependent on his own power, own strength. So when he is in fear, he released the arrow. And Brahmastra, one of the most powerful weapons in this universe. Now, Arjuna when he became fearful, seeing the power of Brahmastra, what he did? First thing he says, Krishna Krishna Mahabaho Bhaktanama Bhayankara. Krishna, all powerful Supreme Lord, you are the giver of Abhay. Bhaktanama Bhayankara. What do you do? You provide Abhay, fearlessness, to your devotees. Who are devotees? Devotee means one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Lord. So it proves when we take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, what we will get in return is abhaya, fearlessness. So much is spoken in Bhagavatam about this fearlessness. See the difference, see the contrast. Ashwatthama became fearful. Arjun became fearful. Ashwatthama, not because of his own conditioning, not dependent on the Supreme Lord's strength, and depending on his own personal strength, he released arrow to defend himself. Arjuna, on the other hand, saw Brahmastra, became fearful. He didn't do anything. He asked Krishna, my dear Lord, first he praised Krishna. And then he asked, my dear Lord, what is this? Then Krishna said, this is the Brahmastra released by Ashwatthama. And the most powerful weapon. But this Ashwatthama does not know how to retract the Brahmastra back. And it will destroy everything. So Arjuna said to Krishna, my Lord, what shall I do? Krishna said, you release also Brahmastra because you know how to release also and you know how to retract also. So you release Brahmastra. This is all given in Bhagavatam 1st canto 7th chapter. Very beautiful, first 10-15 verses. And then Krishna said, you release Brahmastra, merge both the Brahmastra together. Both Brahmastras will come together, they will become one Brahmastra, one weapon, and then retract it back. That's what he did. Already, the power of Brahmastra is it can burn the entire universe and it is effulgent like hundreds of suns. And now one more Brahmastra comes in sky from Arjuna. Becomes so immense, powerful. And then Arjuna retracts both the Brahmastra. See the difference. See the contrast. How a devotee behaves when he is in a problem and how a non-devotee behaves when he is in a problem. And we discuss that it is not our duty to protect ourselves. It is Krishna's responsibility to give us protection. We have to be dependent on Krishna. Like Brajbasis, whenever any demon came to Vrindavan, they didn't even try to defend. They just said, Krishna, Krishna, and Krishna will take care of that. Whether it is cowherd boys, whether it is cowherd girls, whether it is gopis, whether it is gopas, Nanda Baba, Yashoda, any problem, they will just call out Krishna. Nimai Pandit was any problem, Sachi Mata will call out to Narayan. So whenever we are in fearful situation or in a situation where we are in trouble, what is our first thought? That is our consciousness. I may try to cover my consciousness in speaking to others, but when I am pressed against, there is a reversal in my life, then what is my behavior? What is my first thought? What is my action? That will decide my consciousness. So every one of us have to be introspective. We should do introspection and try to understand whether my consciousness is improving or not. 10 years before, when I was not in Krishna consciousness or I was new in Krishna consciousness, that time I had less faith and still I used to take shelter of Krishna. Now I have more faith. Whether the faith has increased? How can we know whether the faith has increased or not? How much you take shelter of Krishna? You can read in Prabhupada's Leelamrita. Prabhupada will struggle but always dependent on Krishna. It's not that Arjuna was told that you be dependent on me and I will fight. Arjuna had to fight. But Krishna said, Ma Manusmarana Yuddhacha. Meditate on me and then fight. Here also when Ashwatthama released the weapon, Arjuna did the same thing. This was after Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna said, did the same thing. He meditated on the Lord and then he released his own Brahmastra after being instructed by the Supreme Lord. So Krishna is ready to guide all of us individually. That much capacity he has. We hear Krishna's two pastimes. One, Rasa Leela. Every gopi was thinking that Krishna is with me. And when he was taking prasadam, he was taking bhoga with gopas before Brahma Vimana Leela, and Brahma is seeing. That time all the gopas, like Krishna is sitting in between, there are 8 gopas who sit, then another 16, then 64, and that is how the circles will increase and go up to millions. Even the last gopa in the last circle, he thinks that Krishna is looking at him. And the opposite side, also another gopa, he thinks Krishna is looking at him. So both are thinking, it's not their illusion, it is Krishna's power. You can go and customize your mobile, customize your clothes, customize your computer. Like we have this Bhagavad Gita, world's largest Bhagavad Gita, world's largest scripture in any religion. Astounding Bhagavad Gita, 800 kilograms, 2.8 meters in height, 2 meters in width. It's customized. Everything is custom made for us. So you can do little bit of customization for different things. But Krishna can completely be only yours. For every one Jivatma, Krishna can expand. He has already expanded in the form of Paramatma. But Supreme Bhagavan can also be with us. It depends on how much we are surrendered. So we see the difference between devotee and non-devotee behaviors. And here, Dhruva Maharaj, what kind of achievement? He's going back home, back to Godhead. When he saw the plane, obviously when we will see the plane of Vaikuntha, we will be happy, we will be joyful, we will be blissful. That's okay. But that bliss is because of Rajoguna or pure devotion or pure goodness. That will have difference. If it is just because of Rajoguna, then our behavior will be not exactly like what Dhruva's behavior is. He was in pure goodness. He didn't forget anything. Sometimes we become, Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna that one should not become very happy in happiness and not become distressed in miseries. That is Rajoguna and Tamoguna, that happiness. If you become too much happy in happiness, especially material happiness, you see, okay, plane has come, but we are not properly in conscious, we will not circumvent it. We just want to board and, okay, let us go for the ride to the entire universe and then go back to it. And here we see Paritya. Dhruva Maharaj first circumambulated the entire Vimana. If you go to Tirupati temple, someone has gone, you see Lord Balaji standing and he has his temple. You come out of the temple, everyone takes darshan of the Vimana. That Vimana is made up of gold. It is said that Vimana came along with Balaji. It is the original. Obviously, we don't have that much of a vision. Our purity is not there, so we cannot see. Otherwise, this Vimana has come with the Lord from Vaikuntha. So here, plane has come. And that's why Prabhupada says, whether the plane or the devotee or Vishnu himself, they are in same spiritual category. Even Lord Vishnu and his devotees, his paraphernalia and the plane, everything is same spiritual quality. It was known to Dhruva Maharaj. So that knowledge, that etiquette, that culture can be seen. And then he circumambulated. Abhyarcha. Then he worshipped the plane. So when we enter the temple, that's why if you see in temples we have bells, even in Mayapur, now in Dhruv also we have small bell. So in the temples big bells are there, but we have kept small bells in Mayapur. Even if there is no bell or there is bell, you should at least knock. You are entering the Supreme Lord's abode. Even if you had your own house, temple, you are entering the temple room, you should knock the door. Prepare consciousness, knock the door, take permission, and then we go inside. What do we do when we enter the temple? First, we pay obeisances to the temple itself. Mahaprabhu, when he saw, Mahaprabhu was going to Jagannath Puri, and he was alone, because Nityananda and other devotees were behind. So Mahaprabhu, he saw from far Lord Jagannath's temple. At that time, there were no high rises, so you can see from far. And he paid obeisances. Where he saw chakra, he paid obeisances. So we should, when we come to temple, we go to any holy dham or we come to ISKCON temple, when we see chakra, we should pay obeisances. At least bend down, at least do some namaskar. Because you have the same benefit, the benediction is there, you have the same benefit of taking darshan of the Lord and darshan of the chakra. That's how Haridas Thakur used to take darshan of Lord in the form of chakra, and definitely Mahaprabhu used to personally come. Then when we enter the temple, first we should pay obeisance to the temple itself, the building, because it is spiritual. Prabhupada explained that. It is spiritual. Like we are not able to see, because of our own conditioning, we are not able to see the deities as Krishna. So we are not able to see the temple as spiritual thing. We pay obeisances. And after that we pay obeisances to the devotees. So here it is saying, Parithya, circumambulated, Abhyarcha, circumambulated and worship what? Dishna Aradhyam, Agryam, the transcendental airplane. That is what he worshipped and circumambulated. Then what he did? Parshadav, Abhivandhyacha, and Parshadav. Two associates came to receive Dhruva. Abhivandha, then he offered obeisances to the associates of the Lord. So before paying obeisances to the Lord, before paying obeisances even to Prabhupada, we should pay obeisances to devotees in the temple. Krishna and Prabhupada will be more happy. First pay obeisances to the temple, then to the devotees, and then we go and pay obeisances to Prabhupada, and then to the deities. Here he is paying obeisances, worshipping, circumambulating the plane, and then paying obeisances to the devotee. Abhivandya, Prabhupada writes, having offered obeisances. Iyesha. Then what he did? He has not yet boarded the plane. But when he circumambulated the plane, when he worshipped the plane, when he offered obeisances to the associates of Lord, his body became transformed. His body was transformed like molten gold, illuminating in all the directions. That means his body became spiritual. That's why if you see in the next verse, Dhruva Maharaj didn't leave his body. In the next verse you will see that death, as soon as Dhruva Maharaj was about to board the plane, he was about to keep his first foot on the plane, death personified came. And he said, my dear sir Dhruva, I know you are completely pure. You are going back to Vaikuntha. But nobody can go Vaikuntha in this material body. Leave this body and go. Dhruva Maharaj, not because of his own pride. Dhruva Maharaj told that if you want, you take this body. Why you have to ask me? I will go in this body only. Well, if you have power, you take the body. That's why nobody can touch devotee. Nobody can touch a devotee. Maharaj, Yamdutas, nobody can touch a devotee. Clear inside. And Dhruva is a pure devotee. So how can that death personified can touch and take the body? That personified was sitting in front of Dhruva, folded hands. Dhruva Maharaj kept one foot on his head and then climbed on the plane. It's not a sign of pride, it's showing the strength of devotional service. That is how we see that Dhruva's body was spiritualized and Dhruva Maharaj didn't have to leave the body. He didn't leave material body and take spiritual body. His complete body was spiritualized and went in the same body back to God. Now Prabhupada writes in the purport about how everything is as good as Lord Vishnu, his abode, his airplane, and we discussed some time back that tadiya. Tadiya means all the paraphernalia, anything connected with Vishnu is tadiya. So whether his associates, whether his paraphernalia, his umbrella, his clothes, everything is connected to the same quality. Even in temple. When you come to temple, the temple is expansion of Balaramji. Because Lord Krishna's clothes, his jewelry, his ornaments, and his bedding, his shoes, everything related which is used directly in service of Krishna is expansion of Balaramji. So here also everything in the temple is expansion of Balaram. So one devotee in Juhu, in Bombay, he asked Prabhupada, if we are conditioned, so also there are some ups and downs and we have some, friction with other devotees. So this devotee said, Prabhupada, there is so much Maya in the temple. Prabhupada said, that is not wonderful, that there is Maya in the temple. More wonderful is that we have temple in Maya's kingdom. That is more wonderful. We have created this spiritual world in the kingdom of Maya. And that's why Prabhupada used to say, we have now waged the war against Maya and she will hit back. And then everything in temple, everything, Lord Vishnu, his throne, his room, all other associated things in temple are transcendental. Prabhupada explains that how this brothel, slaughterhouses, liquor shops, they are in mode of ignorance. Cities are in mode of passion, where we are staying in cities. And forest is in mode of goodness. But the temple is Vaikuntha. And Prabhupada is so, spiritually, his vision, he can see everything. That's why he confidently said, all my temples are in Vaikuntha. Now what exactly happens? Why we are not able to see? Because we treat everything with, we are seeing everything, filtering everything with our own consciousness, which is not purified yet. So that is why whenever we come to temple or we have temple in our home itself is a temple. If our home is temple and we are coming to temple, how much careful we should be with every object. Everything belongs to Vishnu. Not only everything belongs to Vishnu, everything is actually qualitatively as good as Lord Vishnu. we should try to purify our consciousness by practicing sadhana bhakti and then try to revive this culture of Vaishnavism. It's our responsibility. It's the responsibility of every individual devotee who is practicing bhakti and who wants to go back home. That's a responsibility. Now, next verse is about death. So I'll tell you one pastime of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple. I heard from one devotee. Very amazing pastime, because we were talking about death, how he cannot touch. Sometimes we think, oh, you know, we'll not go to Yamduta, cannot touch it. It's given in Bhagavatam. But when we do some mistake, mischief, we become notorious. Then Krishna arranges for us to punish, to be punished. But still Guru and Krishna, they can protect. So we have to be still careful. Ajamil, when Yamadutas came to pick him up and Vishnu Dutas came to save him, so then Ajamil was not taken back home, back to Godhead immediately. He was given 5 years. Yamadutas left, Vishnu Dutas left. And then he left the house, his wife, prostitute, his children, and went to Haridwar to practice Krishna consciousness for next 5 years, pure bhakti, and then he went back to God. So there was one disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur who got initiated in 1933, same year Srila Prabhupada got initiated. And 1936, as all of us know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur left this planet. I went back to the eternal abode of the Lord. So this disciple, he also left Krishna consciousness. See, that's the challenge. When Acharya leaves, many sadhakas who are not fixed up, they are in the risk zone. When Guru leaves, if we are not fixed up in bhakti, we are not doing our sadhana properly, we are not following the instructions. When Guru is there, somehow little bit here, there, still get covered up. When Guru leaves, that's what happens every Guru leaves. Problem happens. The devotee especially, who are still the lower kanishtha, the faith is not strong, the practice is not strong, they're not following the rules and regulation. The challenge happens and they are drifted away. Maya is so powerful. So this devotee, when Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur left, this devotee also left Krishna consciousness. And he engaged himself into all obnoxious activities. Breaking the regulated principles. Not chanting, not practicing any aspect of Krishna consciousness. And he lived his life for years like this. It all happened just few decades ago. And then one day he left his body. And he left his body. The preparation was going on for the last rites. And then he was taken for the funeral. As the Vedic custom is, for people from the family will take the dead body on the shoulders and they were taking. They kept his body on the funeral pyre and about to burn the body. At that time, this devotee was actually dead. He woke up. And he woke up suddenly and he just sat. He was lying down, he just sat. Half of the public ran away. You know, someone has died. Left his body. It has been few hours. Everything is declared. You are taking him. Now the final ritual. About to burn the body. And he wakes up. What will happen? Everyone will run away. Thinking some ghost has come or what. So then, he said, no, I am not ghost. Then he started narrating what happened in these few hours. He said, I saw when I left, the soul left this body, Yamdutas took me to Yamlok. He said he was a devotee. But maybe he's not wearing tilak, not practicing bhakti, not having kantimala, whatever. He was taken to Yamlok in front of Yamraj. And Yamraj told to Chitragupta, his manager, okay, tell me his records. So Chitragupta said, he has done lot of sinful activities. So Yamraj always, because Yamraj is Mahajan, he's a devotee. He's a pure devotee of the Lord. So he still tries to give some scope is there. So Yamraj told to Chitragupta, please see carefully if some good thing he has done. Let us try to focus on that. Yamraj sitting in Yamaloka, where his duty is to just see the faults. But because he is a Mahajan, he is a pure devotee, he is trying to look for some good things in every soul and trying to give them some benefit. This is the heart of a devotee. Even though he has to do this service, he is not contaminated, he is not affected. Sometimes we are given some different services. We get affected with the service because we are not pure devotees. The external environment, it affects because our consciousness is very weak. Yamraj is a pure devotee, consciousness, spiritual consciousness is very strong. So Chitragupta said, my Lord, there's one good thing. Tell me, what is that? That he has taken initiation from his divine grace to the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Yamraj said, that's it. And then Yamraj, he closed his eyes. Amazing, no? This devotee is getting darshan of Yamraj also. Yamraj closed his eyes, and when he opened the eyes, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur is standing there, right in front. And then the disciple also saw, my Guru has come. It was fearful. Guru started rebuking him. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur started chastising him. That I left, you also left Krishna consciousness. I left this world to go on for the spiritual world, or maybe whatever service Krishna would have given him. Why did you leave Krishna consciousness and engage yourself in sinful activities? And he chastised so much. The devotee was feeling guilty that because of my activities, my Guru has to come to this hellish planet. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Sahakur said that to Yamraj, that is my disciple. Can you please give him one opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness? That is where Yamraj says, okay, go back. And this all happened in a few hours, and he comes back to life and then takes up Krishna consciousness seriously. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur told him that you go to earth in your body and go and take initiation again from my disciple. Bhakti Madhav Maharaj, Bhakti Madhav Puri Maharaj, Bhakti Daitya Madhav Maharaj, you go and take initiation, is my disciple. That is how he comes back. So he narrates the entire story. And then after narrating the story, he goes back to his god brother, from whom he has to take initiation. So he went, paid obeisances. He said, our Guru Maharaj has sent me, so that Maharaj, Bhakti Daitya, Madhav Maharaj, he said, I know everything. I'll initiate you. And I will initiate him. And then he practiced Krishna consciousness. So we can see, definitely it is true that nobody can touch a devotee, but if you trouble unnecessarily Guru, Krishna will arrange for our suffering also. And that's why Prabhupada said, don't make me come again to this material world. He told to his disciples, he said, all of you practice nicely and come back. And don't force me to come to this material world. If you will not practice nicely, I will have to come again. So we should not trouble our Guru. Guru is there, but still we should be careful. We should become an asset. We should help him in the mission and not give him trouble. So this is how I just remember. I heard from one devotee and he has heard from one senior devotee and it is coming. So how much is what much? No, I don't know. I just heard as it is, I'm telling you. It is possible. Logically there is, no, I have not seen it in a written format, but I cannot say that it's incorrect because it's, all the things are logical. So that's how Dhruva Maharaj is following this Vaishnava culture and Vaishnava etiquette. And the next verse you will see tomorrow that how when the death comes, death personified, they are not fearful. Devotees are not fearful of anything. But we have to practice to come out of that place. Out of four activities, eating, mating, sleeping, and defending. Defending is actually what? Bhaya. It's fear. So Prabhupada gives this example that you are hungry, you eat something, you will be satisfied. There's a desire to mate, and then you have fulfilled the desire, you are satisfied for some time. There's a desire to sleep, you are tired, you sleep, and you are, you know, pacified. But fear is such a thing that 24 hours you will be in fear, still the fear will be there. You will never go until unless one becomes Krishna consciousness. And Sukadeva Goswami has spoken n number of times in different cantos you will read about fear. Different devotees have spoken about it. If you see a bird, you throw some grains, the pigeons will come and they will take one grain in their beak and look left, right, is anyone coming to kill me? They are so fearful. Similarly, we are also fearful. Why we are fearful? Because we are seeing things different from Krishna. I am seeing this laptop, I am seeing this mobile, this room, everything not connected to Krishna. That is why I am fearful. If I am connected to Krishna, this laptop is connected to Krishna, everything in the world is connected to Krishna, where is the fear of losing anything? We are fearful of losing. That's why we are always fearful. Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma Na Shochati Na Kankshati. No lamentation, no hankering. That is Brahma Bhuta. So if we practice sincerely bhakti, we'll come to the stage of Brahma Bhuta. So, and we should always remember from this today's word that because of our, because of the mercy from Guru and Krishna, from devotees, we may achieve something. We may be able to achieve something, but we should not take the credit, we should not be proud, but it is not just in the words, we have to show that in the action. That means after the achievement, we should still remain humble, servant of all the devotees. That is Vaishnava etiquette. Hare Krishna. Any questions if any devotee has? Please don't ask any questions related to that story which I narrated. I heard I narrated. I don't know much about detail in that. That's what I heard it. So I told you. Yes, questions please. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It was a very nice class.
Yes, Mataji.
I request if anyone has any questions, they can ask now.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji Dandavat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. This class is specially for me. Prabhuji, I have very much question. One Mataji is a new Vaishnavi in Atlanta temple. She asked that why so many rules and why 12 to 4, I answer her that 12 to 4 deities are sleeping. Then she answered that why so many rules, Krishna is sitting in our hearts. So how can I explain that without rules we cannot follow the instruction of Guru Maharaj?
So she is a devotee or what? I didn't understand.
Oh, Prabhuji, she is a newcomer but coming temple from last 1 year. But she is not accepting Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev.
Okay. So it's very simple. Krishna is definitely sitting in our heart. But are we able to access Krishna in our heart? Is Krishna talking to us when we are talking to him? No. Is Krishna hearing? Definitely he is listening to us. But when he replies, are we able to listen? It's like water is everywhere in form of humidity, in form of moisture. Water is everywhere in form of vapor. But then when I want to drink water, I need it in liquid form, concentrated liquid form. So because not of water, because of my own conditioning. There is oxygen in the water, everyone knows that. But we cannot go inside the ocean or in the river and breathe oxygen from the water, because we are conditioned. So for all conditioned things, there are rules and regulations. There are so much radio waves in the atmosphere, but to play some radio, you need an instrument. So these rules and regulations are to bring us to that level where we come in front of Krishna face to face. It's like if you want to meet the president of your nation, you have to follow certain rules. You cannot say, I'm a citizen of this nation and it's the responsibility of the president to meet me. Yes, he will meet you, but you have to follow the protocol. So similarly, Krishna is present in our heart. Krishna is everywhere. But we are not able to access Krishna. An opportunity that because you are conditioned, you are not purified, you cannot see me, you cannot talk to me, you cannot listen to what I have to say. But Krishna is so merciful that he has arranged scriptures and devotees. That is why Chaitya Guru is inside Krishna, and the same Chaitya Guru Krishna comes outside as in the form of a Sadguru, a bona fide spiritual master. So Guru is there, Vaishnavas are there, scriptures are there, these rules and regulations, so that we follow, we become purified in our consciousness, and then we can just talk to Krishna anywhere, everywhere. Then we don't need. It's a Vaidhi Bhakti we are following, so we need to follow rules and regulations for everything. If a child has to learn how to walk, he has to hold something. But when the child grows up, he can run without holding anything. So right now we are new in bhakti. We need to follow rules and regulations so that we can become purified. Once we become purified, after that we don't need all rules and regulations. That is Vedi bhakti. No? In Raganuga, in Prem, we don't need all this. It's all spontaneous. Till the time it comes spontaneous, you have to follow. A child does not, you can ask that Mataji, you have a child. So this small child you have, or if you don't have, you would have seen, these children, they don't go to school. They don't like going to school when they are, 3 years old, 2 years old, whatever age one goes to school. They cry because they've never stayed away from their mother. Till now everything, entire universe was their own house. Now they're suddenly out. They don't like to go to school. But then you push them. They push them, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, then they make friends. And they don't want to come home now. They want to stay in school, in touch with their friends, play with their friends, be happy with their friends. So that is now they don't need rules and regulations. Earlier the push is required of rules and regulations. Once you come to the stage of Raganuga Bhakti, spontaneous. Now this child has developed spontaneous liking for schools. We have to push some people to study. Even after a few years, some students don't study. So we have to push, push, push. Some students, they come to the level that spontaneously they study. Mother and father, they don't have to tell him that you should study. He will spontaneously study. So till the time we come to the level where we have spontaneous affection for Krishna and love, we have to follow rules and regulations. Now you may say, why shall I come? And Krishna is in the heart. If Krishna is in the heart, first of all, you are not able to access him. And if you say, oh, no, I am in touch with Krishna, I am talking to Krishna, okay, then you ask her, what are you doing for Krishna? Have you developed love? Some people say, yes. So what are you doing for Krishna? Tell us. Give example of some devotees. How devotees are ready to do anything and everything for Krishna. That is love. Because we don't love Krishna, we are not ready to do anything and everything. We are not ready for all the sacrifice. So that is why certain rules and regulations we follow. And then gradually get purified, come to the stage of Raga Muga, spontaneous loving devotional. Is it okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji, it's a work. Thank you, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. August Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Prabhuji, here you said like Guru Maharaja did not leave his body and
Mataji, your voice is breaking in the last. I didn't hear what you said.
Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So they were asking to Dhruva Maharaj that you have to leave this body and come with us. So he said, if you wanna take the body, take it. And he just went with that whole body.
Okay, so they were not asking. Vishnu Dutas didn't ask Dhruva Maharaj to leave the body. That personified in the next text, that personified the Mrityu Purush. Death will come in front of Dhruva, and death was telling Dhruva that you leave this body, my lord. He was requesting. Please, see, devotee, he's a devotee, no? Even death cannot do anything to devotee. So death personified is requesting, my dear Dhruva, please give up this body, take spiritual body and go back. And Dhruva said, no, his body was already spiritual. He said, if you want, take it. I'll read the exact part. When Dhruva, the next verse, if you read the translation, when Dhruva Maharaj was attempting to go on the transcendental plane, he saw death personified approached him. Not caring for the death, devotees don't care. However, he took advantage of the opportunity to put his feet on the death, head of the death, and thus he got up on the airplane, which was as big as house. So he didn't leave the body. He went in the same body.
Okay. Yeah, got it, Prabhuji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, thank you for your class. A couple questions. I wasn't able to hear certain parts of your lecture so clearly, so I just have to basically ask for you to repeat a couple of points. One was when you were saying that one person, I guess, somebody put their foot on the head of another. Was it Super Soul put the foot on the head of Dhruva, or did Dhruva put his foot on somebody else's? And you said that that was not an act of pride. Do you remember that part?
Yes.
Yeah, so I need for you to clarify who put their foot on whom, on whose
foot. Okay,
said.
I'll read it. The next translation, 4.12.30. I read the translation, and in the translation it says, not caring for the death. However, he took advantage, he means Dhruva, he took advantage of the opportunity to put his feet on the head of the death. And thus, he got up on the airplane, which was as big as house. Dhruva Maharaj kept his feet on death personified, not caring for the death. And obviously, it cannot be the act of pride, because you cannot go back to Godhead with pride. And even if you have, even if someone is proud, you cannot win for death. It is only because of pure devotional service Dhruva Maharaj could conquer death.
Okay, thank you. Another question I had was when you were stating what our order of paying obeisances should be, I think you said first there was something, maybe something even before paying obeisances to the devotees and then to the
deities. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So first, when we are approaching a temple, we should develop our, we should prepare our consciousness. Like we prepare our consciousness before going to the Holy Dham. We are going to Vrindavan Yatra, Mayapur Yatra. We prepare our consciousness. So whenever you are approaching a temple or a temple in your own house, ideally we should be 24 hours in the consciousness, in proper consciousness. But because we are still in a sadhaka state, so we may not, it may not be possible for us to remain in the proper consciousness for 24 hours. But at least when we are approaching the Lord, we should prepare our consciousness. Then we should knock the door, like taking permission. That's where the bell is there in the temple. And then we pay obeisances to the temple, then pay obeisances to the devotees, then to Prabhupada, then to the deities.
Okay, so you said devotees first, then Prabhupada, then deities.
Yes.
And the reason why we should pay obeisances to the devotees before paying obeisances to Prabhupada is what?
I'll tell you. See, when you enter the temple, so what you see, many devotees. So we pay obeisances, we say, Vanchakalpatarupesa, all devotees. And then we go and approach Prabhupada. Now, when you go to Prabhupada, if you are already initiated devotee, not of Prabhupada, of Prabhupada disciple, like I am initiated by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. So when I pay obeisances to Prabhupada, I will first say pranam mantra of my own guru, and then say pranam mantra of Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada himself said you cannot approach a param guru directly, especially on the only on special days like his appearance and disappearance. He told his disciples that you cannot approach my Guru Maharaj directly without going through me. And another principle, this is one principle. Another principle, Krishna becomes more happy when we first pay obeisances to Prabhupada and then go to Krishna. So same principle, Prabhupada will be more happy when we respect and pay obeisances to his followers, going first to him. So when we enter temple, we say Vanchakalpa, pay obeisance to all the Vaishnavas, and then we go inside the temple, approach to the deity of Prabhupada, and then pay obeisances.
Well, should we, when we pay obeisances, okay, if you're an initiated disciple, should your obeisances to all Vaishnavas include your Guru Maharaj, or should it be then first, you know, the Vaishnavas in general, and then your Guru Maharaj? And
see,
then
okay, so now the positions are different. So how do I explain? See, there's a temple. I'm talking of proper temple, ISKCON temple. So when we enter the the door of the temple hall, not the main gate of the complex. When you enter the door of the temple hall. Okay, have you visited Vrindavan temple or Mayapur?
No.
Okay. So any temple when you open, when you approach, there's a door. We knock the door, as if like taking permission. We go immediately bow down there only. Immediately after entering the door, we bow down, pay obeisances to the devotees and temple. because everything is spiritual. You enter now spiritual world, and then it will take few steps before you reach to Prabhupada. Am I clear?
Yes.
And then you go and pay obeisances to Prabhupada, but then Prabhupada himself has said you cannot approach Guru, Param Guru. That means your spiritual master, without going through your spiritual master. So when we are paying obeisances, we say pranam mantra of our own Guru. Then, like if I am going to any temple, say if I go to other than ISKCON temples, like Lord Balaji, or in Udupi if I go, these are all holy dhams, or Radha Govind Dev in Jaipur, this is Rupa Goswami's deities. The deity of Radha Govind Dev now in Jaipur were actually installed 5,000 years back by great grandson of Krishna, Vajranath Maharaj. And then it was worshipped by Rupa Goswami, and finally the Govind Dev came to Jaipur. So now there is no deity of Prabhupada, there is no deity of Acharyas, there is no Gaur Nithai. It's only Radha Govinda. So when I go and pay obeisances, what I do, I pay obeisances to the deities, but say offer pranam mantra to my Guru and then to Prabhupada and to Rupa Goswami, because this is worshipable deity of Rupa Goswami. Then I offer pranam mantra of Mahaprabhu, then Panch Tattva, and then Krishna and Radharani. Because that is how parampara we have to follow. Even though deities are not there, but they are in my consciousness. That is how it's etiquette to approach. It's like when we go for a deity worship. If I'm going for worshipping the deity, either changing the dress or offering bhoga to deity or offering arati to deity, then first I have to prepare. Prabhupada writes this in the deity manual, that first we have to prepare the consciousness and we have to invite the Guru who will actually come and sit on the Vyasasana. And then that Guru, we are helping. We have to worship deities in the consciousness that we are helping our Guru, and Guru is actually worshipping Radha and Krishna. So it's a general etiquette that we approach our immediate superior, and then he will go to, like you offer bhoga. So you will offer, even though it may appear that you are keeping the bhoga in front of Radha Krishna, but you are actually offering to your Guru. That's why before any pranam, before offering any mantras for bhoga, we offer mantra of our Guru, then Prabhupada, then Mahaprabhu, then we offer to Krishna. Technically it goes in parampara. I offer to my Guru offers to Prabhupada, Prabhupada offers to Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktisiddhanta offers to Gaurakishore. It goes and it reaches to Srimati Radharani, and then Srimati Radharani actually gives of the bhoga, the offering to Krishna. That's how the parampara goes. So even if Prabhupada's deity is not there, there are holy places which are not ISKCON temple. Prabhupada's deity may not be there, but I should remember that I am here because of Prabhupada and my own Guru. So that's the act of gratitude.
Yes, yes. How about when...
On the lighter side, if you pay obeisances to Lord Balaji or any other deity, if you say Prabhupada pranam mantra, so Lord will immediately recognize, oh, this devotee has come from ISKCON.
Yes. How about, you described the hierarchy of the parampara, but what should the order be of paying obeisances to, let's say you have Lord Jagannath on the altar, Radha Krishna, Gaur Nithai, Lord Nrsingadev, how do we address this order?
The order is there. Now, let us take, if there are three altars, say like Mayapur, we have after Prabhupada, we go to, best is to go to Panch Tattva. In all the temples, we first approach Gaur Nithai in the terms of deities, because they are most merciful. They are most merciful. And we are like, it's like before chanting Hare Krishna, Prabhupada instructed us to chant Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Why? Because Panch Tattva mantra, there are no offenses. When we chant Panch Tattva mantra, there are no offenses in Panch Tattva mantra. And also by chanting Panch Tattva mantra, we are protected by other offenses which we may commit while chanting Hare Krishna mantra. So Gaur Nithai are so merciful. If you see in all the Gaudiya Math, the deities of Nityananda Prabhu is not installed. It is Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Radha Krishna. Very few, only Ambika Kalna, which is real Gaur Nidaya, or I don't see, very rare if you see Nityananda Prabhu. Prabhupada started this concept of installing Nityananda Prabhu also, along with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Because Prabhupada knew that all Jagai Madhai in this world can only be liberated by Nityananda Prabhu. Mahaprabhu will not even touch them. So we approach Nityananda Prabhu, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Gaur Nidaya altar. And then we can go to any altar, depends on the order. If, like in Vrindavan, we go to the left altar, which is Gaur Nidaya after Prabhupada. And that's why if you see the order, left side is, the first altar is given to Gaur Nidaya. And then we go to Krishna Balaram and then Radha Shyam Sundar. If you go to Mayapur, first you go to Prabhupada, after that go to Panchatattva, then go to Narsingadev, and then go to Radha Krishna, Radha Madhava Shri Chakri. So more or less the three altars will be, if there are three altars in the temple, left hand side definitely will be Gaur Nidaya.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time. Now if there is only one altar, there are small temples, there is only Radha Krishna, but then small Gaur Nidaya deities will be there, always. So when you are paying obeisances, you should first pay obeisances to Gaur Nidaya. Say the Pranam Mantra, and then you say Pranam Mantra of Radha and Krishna. So you will be protected because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they are more merciful. So we approach them first.
Yeah, you approach them first. But you know, is I know you're saying generally is you go from left to right.
Yes.
But sometimes, like in one temple, you see before you see Gwenitai, then Radha Krishna, then Jagannath deities, right?
So you can go after Gaur Nidaya to Radha Krishna and Jagannath. That is okay. At least you approach Gaur Nidaya first. That's okay if you approach Radha Krishna and then Jagannath. It's some practicality also. It's just on an order. Like there are many temples in ISKCON where left is Gaur Nidaya, then center is Radha Krishna. Because center is main deity. Like in Radharas Bihari temple in Juhu, we have left Gaur Nidaya, center Radharas Bihari, and right hand side Sitaram. So first we pay obeisances to Gaur Nidaya, then to Radharas Bihari, and then we go to Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. So that is okay. First we approach Gaur Nidaya and then that's all right.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned Sitaram because in one temple where I go, in the center is Radha Krishna and then Sitaram on the...
Yeah, in Delhi there is Sitaram, in Africa, in Kenya there is Sitaram, Mombasa, I think. In Juhu we have Sitaram.
But Lord Nrsingadev we should approach before Radha Krishna though, right?
See, again... It depends on practicality. I don't know whether there is any hard and fast rule. Like in Juhu, we don't have Lord Narsingadev. We have a diorama. So before the altar opens in the morning for Mangal Arati, we first pay obeisances to devotees and then we go to pay obeisances to Prabhupada. After Prabhupada, all of us go pay obeisances to Lord Narsingadev. Altar is not yet open, but Lord Narsingha is a diorama. But we pay obeisances to Lord Narsingadev. And then when altar opens, we go to Gaur Nidaya, Radha Krishna and Sitaram. So depends how you approach. Like if Mayapur, if you see the structure, then you after Prabhupada, you go to Panchatattva. After you coming from Panchatattva hall, you will see first is Narsingadev. So you pay obeisances to Narsingadev and go to Radha Madhav. If you go to Radha Madhav, it's not that something very wrong will happen. It's not something inauspicious. So first is Mahaprabhu because he's more merciful. That's the main principle.
I thought you would say Lord Nityananda, we should go first to Lord Nityananda.
Yeah. Mahaprabhu, Nityananda is same altar. Gaur Nidaya is same altar.
Okay. And Tulsi Devi, where does she come in?
She's a devotee. If she is on the altar, generally if you see Tulsi Devi is in the courtyard, like in Vrindavan, Tulsi Devi is in the courtyard. So you can pay obeisances before approaching, like in Juhu, before approaching Prabhupada, when we enter, we come to the courtyard, we pay obeisances to Vaishnava, and then there is Tulsi Maharani. So we pay obeisances to Tulsi Maharani, Rakumambula Tulsi, and then we go pay obeisances to Prabhupada. So it may not be proper, no order, but this is again practicality. And if
but in our mind, at least, because many temples here, you know, there isn't that set up, you know. So what should the order be for her? Is it before we pay obeisance to Srila Prabhupada, after, or what?
Again, I said ideally it should be after Prabhupada, definitely. But seeing the practical situation, we have to see the practicality. If you are approaching,
yeah, let's say she's not even on the altar. In our minds, even, shouldn't we be paying obeisances to her?
Yeah. You can pay obeisances after Prabhupada. You can pay obeisances to Tulsi. You can pay obeisances to Shad Goswami. You can pay obeisances to Haridas Thakur. No problem. After Prabhupada, you can pay obeisances to Haridas.
And before Panchatattva, right? Before.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Prabhu, just one last question I have is about this word tadiya. You said that it's something connected to Krishna's paraphernalia, but is that the translation for this word tadiya?
Tadiya, the word means anything connected to Krishna. More specifically, we use this word for devotees. But anything connected to Krishna is tadiya. If you want, let me search the word. See, I'll read for you. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.18 lecture. Given in Los Angeles, August 21, 1972. Prabhupada says, tadiya means those who are in relationship with Vishnu. Just like devotees. Tulsi Vriksha. Tulsi is tadiya. Or temple tadiya. Preaching tadiya. So even preaching is tadiya, temple is tadiya, tulsi is tadiya, devotees are tadiya. Prabhupada is writing. Prabhupada is telling this in one lecture in 1972, August 21, Los Angeles, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8.
Mm-hmm.
There's a meaning of word tadiya.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So shall we stop now? Anyone has any questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Danat Pranam.
Yes,
Mataji. Prabhuji, you said with the other, if just like appearance, disappearance, we can directly approach to the Acharya Prabhu. You were telling like that?
See, once what happened, I have to understand the concept, context. One devotee asked Prabhupada, so can I pray to Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur? Because Prabhupada used to always say that my Guru Maharaj is more merciful. So then one devotee, innocently, he just thought that, you know, if I want more mercy, so he asked Prabhupada, can I approach Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur for mercy? Prabhupada said, no. You can approach him only through me. Only on special days you can approach him directly. But even on special days, you can pray to him directly, but you can, you know, pay obeisances and go in the same order. Like it is appearance day of Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. So, you know, in the temple we have photos, or sometimes we keep the deities of Bhakti Siddhanta. Then you pay obeisances to Prabhupada first and then go to Bhakti Siddhanta, even though it is appearance or disappearance. That's the etiquette. But we can directly pray. It is more, these acharyas are accessible. On those days especially, they're more merciful. It's like they said that Krishna is more merciful on his appearance day. Mahaprabhu is more merciful on Gauranga Purnima, Gaur Purnima. So acharyas are more merciful on their appearance and disappearance day. They manifest themselves more. So we can approach them. We can pray to them.
Okay, Prabhu. Yeah, that is my question. I think Prabhupada said, if you directly pray to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, you are disregarding your Guru, or you are at the same level as the Guru. Yes, Prabhu?
I don't exactly remember the statement. I can find it, but I'm saying the context was that you have to go first to your guru and then go to his guru. That is the etiquette.
Yes, Prabhu. I think he was telling you are putting yourself at the guru's level.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, one thing, Prabhu, is it true that if you're not initiated, you can go directly to Prabhupada?
No, you can, because if someone who's not initiated and has not yet decided guru, Prabhupada is kind of guru for him, because we have not decided guru. Like before my initiation, I have not yet even decided from whom I will take initiation. So Prabhupada is Jagat Guru. So I take the Pranam Mantra because I don't have a guru. In that case, it is okay. Because this guru has not yet manifested for us. But when you take initiation, or even if you are not initiated, but you are aspiring from some particular guru, then you can start offering him pranam first, and then to Prabhupada. But if there is no, then you can directly go to Prabhupada. That's okay.
Okay. But generally the concept is that you pay obeisances in the order of the person who gives you access to the next one up, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Okay, so if there is no question, then we'll stop here. Rantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you for the request. Thank you for the request. Thank you for the request. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.